After attaining me, the great souls, who are yogis in devotion, never return to this temporary world, which is full of miseries, because they have attained the highest perfection. Purport. Since this temporary material world is full of the miseries of birth, old age, disease, and death, naturally, he who achieves the highest perfection and attains the supreme planet, Krishna Loka, Goloka Vrindavan, does not wish to return. The supreme planet is described in Vedic literature as Avyakta and Akshara and Paramagati. In other words, that planet is beyond our material vision, and it is inexplicable, but it is the highest goal, the destination for the Mahatmas, great souls. Mahatmas receive transcendental messages from the realized devotees and thus gradually develop devotional service in Krishna consciousness and become so absorbed in transcendental service that they no longer desire elevation to any of the material planets, nor do they even want to be transferred to any spiritual planet. They want only Krishna and Krishna's association and nothing else. That is the highest perfection of life. This verse specifically mentions the personalist devotees of the Supreme Lord, Krishna. These devotees in Krishna consciousness achieve the highest perfection of life. In other words, they are the supreme souls. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manopistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Padamahyam Tathatihi Shapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Juta Padakamalam Sri Gurum Vaishnavamsha, Sri Rupam Sagrajatam, Sahagana Raganathan, Vitam Stam Sahivam, Shadvaitam, Shavatutam, Parijana Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Sri Radha Krishna Padam, Sahagana Lolita, Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha. Hey Krishna, Karana Sindha, Dina Bandha Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostate, Tapta Kamsana Gaurangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Prashabhanu Sute Devi, Paramami Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa-sindhavyaeva cha padita-nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Gauri Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Mam upetya punar janma dukkhalayam ashashvatam napnuvanti mahatmanah samsiddhim paramam gata. The destination of the great souls is described. Mahupetya. Ma means Krishna. The Mahatmas, actual Mahatmas, are the pure devotees of Krishna. Because they're the ones who attain Krishna. Bhaktya mama bijanati avanyas chasmitantra. Only the pure devotees can understand Krishna as he is. Tattvata. And they're the ones who attain Krishna. The impersonalists can't attain Krishna because they aren't interested in Krishna, except as a stepping stone to something that they imagine is higher. They imagine that the impersonal Brahma is higher, and Krishna is a manifestation of that. Although Krishna says, Brahmano hi pratishtaha, I'm the basis of the impersonal Brahma. They think, no, the impersonal Brahma is the source. Although Krishna says, aham sarvasya prabhubhava, and then says it again, mata sarvam pravartate, I am the source of everything. Everything comes from me. Iti matva bhajante ma buddha bhava samanita. Those who actually understand this engage in my devotional service wholeheartedly. Well, the impersonalists are not interested in wholeheartedly engaging in the devotional service of Krishna, because their goal is not Krishna. Their goal is the impersonal oneness. They want to merge with the Absolute. They want to merge with the Absolute. Sarva Kalavita Brahma. Everything is Brahma. I'm Brahma, you're Brahma, Krishna is Brahma. Everything is Brahma, so I'm also going to realize my identity as Brahma. And then I'll no longer have individuality, which is giving me so much problem. I'll extinguish my individuality, and in that way I'll extinguish my suffering. This is their formula, which Srila Prabhupada calls spiritual suicide. You're suffering, so kill yourself, and then you won't suffer anymore. So this is their spiritual solution, spiritual suicide. In any case, they don't attain Krishna. Ashadhana purusha dharmasyasya parantapa aprapyaman nivartante mrityu samsara varni. Those who don't have faith and devotion in Krishna as the personality of Godhead can't attain Krishna. Aprapyaman. They attain either repeated birth and death, or the impersonal Brahma-jyoti from which they fall down and attain repeated birth and death. Patantyadho nadrita yushmarangra. Ignoring the lotus feet of Krishna, they fall down. Just as these space vehicles, they can't remain forever floating in space. When they come near the gravity of a planet, they get attracted to that planet. So the living being, constitutionally, is not meant for floating in the Brahma-jyoti. So he, again, becomes attracted to the material varieties of enjoyment. And punarjanma. Punarjanma means repeated birth and death. Mamupetya punarjanma. Dukkhalya. Punarjanma means dukkhalya mashashvatam. The material world is described as dukkhalya, a place of misery. Just as alaya means a place where you get something. Bhojanalaya, a restaurant, a place where you get bhojan. So material world is dukkhalaya, a place where you get suffering. And that's outlined here, janma mrityu jara vyadhi. Elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita, janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha dosha anudarshana. By seeing through the eyes of the spiritually self-realized teachers, one should understand that this material world is a place of fourfold miseries. Birth, death, old age, and disease. Who can deny it? It's not a question of my religion, your religion. Jatasya hi dhruvam, the one who takes birth, death is certain. Death means misery. Old age means misery. Birth means misery. Disease means misery. No one lines up for disease. Or old age. Or death. So these things are miserable. And the material world, Hare Krishna. Next one. Material world means these things. Dukkhali. Or analyzed from another angle of vision, miseries from other living beings, miseries from the body and mind, miseries from the environment, adiatmic, adibhautic, adidaitic miseries. These are always there. The other living beings, whether viruses, mosquitoes, germs, people, are always giving difficulty. If they're not giving difficulty, then the environment, the too hot, too cold, too wet, too dry, gives trouble. And failing that, my own body and mind give me miseries. So then the material world is dukkhalaya, a place of misery, not sukkhalaya, pleasure park. It's miserable. Then someone says, no, it's not miserable. There's happiness here also. You just have to learn to take the good with the bad. So Prabhupada has an example for them, that this is like taking sweet rice mixed with sand. Take your nice cup of sweet rice, add half a teaspoonful of sand, and enjoy it. Take the good with the bad. Is it possible? What enjoyment will you get? So, still someone says, no, it's not dukkhalaya. Maybe for you it's miserable, but I'm enjoying. My girlfriend's fantastic. My job, I love it. My friends are terrific. Everything is great. Then the answer is given, shashvatam. Temporary. And everything here, even if you think, no, the material world, whatever you say about it, home sweet home, I like it, you can't stay. Ashashvata. Then, again, miserable. Found the place of my dreams and got kicked out. Dukkhalaya mashashvata. That's the material world. Full of miseries at every step, and even if I think, well, not so bad, I get kicked out. You rent an apartment, first thing you want to do is make a solid agreement so that they can't kick you out. But the material world is a place where no such agreement can be made. Everyone gets kicked out. Kicked out of whatever you've accumulated and thrown to the next lifetime. Punarjanma. And go through it again, and go through it again, and go through it again, and go through it again. This is dukkhalaya mashashvata. So an intelligent person is a person who always sees these four, these miseries, dukkha, dosha, anudosha, and tries to solve them. The human life is the life in which one has the opportunity to try to solve these problems, not the superficial problems of the materialists, but the real problems, the basic problems, the essential problems. Human life is meant for that. Otherwise, the problem of where to get food, where to get sex, that's the dogs can solve that problem. You don't need a PhD for that. Dogs and hogs are solving that problem. And better sometimes. The hippopotamus, he gets more food than we do. The pigs can have so many kids at once. Pigeons could have sex again and again and again and again. So these are our aspirations. The animals are ahead of us. The human life is meant for brahmajyotis, spiritual inquiry. Why am I suffering? When Sanatana Goswami met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this was his question. Kenami. Who am I? Kenayama Jarak Tapatra. Why are these threefold miseries always giving me? So, these problems can be solved at once by Krishna consciousness. Na apnubanti. One doesn't have to come back for birth and death. When one has attained Krishna, Mahamudra. Because, sang siddhim, this is the complete perfection. Even if we think that Brahman realization is perfection, it's not the complete perfection. Therefore, Krishna says, Manusyanam sahasreshu kaschid yanti siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kaschin mame veti tatvata. Out of so many thousands of karmis, maybe one becomes a jnani and attains perfection by understanding, I'm not this body, I'm spirit soul. But then he's called siddha, perfect. But out of so many thousands of men who've attained perfection, yatatam api siddhanam kaschin mam veti tatvata. Maybe one can understand. That means understanding Krishna is the postgraduate course in spiritual realization. Brahma-bhuta prasannatma nashochati nakangshati samasarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate param. When one becomes self-realized, Brahma-bhuta, then he has nothing to hanker for, nothing to lament about. Material world means hankering and lamenting. I'm always hankering for what I don't have, lamenting for what I've lost. But in the stage of self-realization, not shochiti, not shochiti. Therefore one becomes joyful, prasanna. First symptom of the self-realized person is joyful. Kamparos. Nothing to hanker for, nothing to lament about. Samasarveshu bhuteshu. He sees everything with an equal eye. But that's not the highest position. Madbhaktim labhate param. He has to go further to understand Krishna and engage in devotional service to Krishna. Therefore, sansiddhi, complete perfection, perfection of perfection, is devotional service to Krishna. And that's the way for entering the spiritual world. In Brahma Sangita, it's described, Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Thakura describes in his purports that there are different tridents surrounding Goloka Vrindavan and preventing the unqualified persons from entering. That's natural. Even, say, India, America, you can't just walk in. Where's your visa? Have you paid your fees? Did you get your yellow fever certificate so you're not going to contaminate the place? Otherwise, next plane out. So when it's so difficult to get into India or America, then why should it be so easy to go into Goloka Vrindavan? Because you motored up there in your tin vehicle. They can't, even the moon, not so easy. They're driving there in their spacecraft. But pantastukoti satavatsara sampragamya vayora tapi manasopi munipungavana. Pantastukoti satavatsara sampragamya vayora tapi manasopi munipungavana. Yopyasti yat prabhadasenya vachinishatati volinyamadi purushantam. Even if we could travel at mental speed, these spacecraft were going at slow speed. If we could travel at mental speed means you can travel from here to France in half a moment. If you traveled at that speed for thousands and thousands of samvatsara, years, still couldn't reach the tip of the toe of Goloka. Not by yoga, not by jnana. Krishna is not achievable. Paktyamam abhijanat. Only by devotional service. Therefore, all the other yoga systems are meant for bringing us to this point. Yoginamapi sarvesham madgatena antaratmana. Shraddhavan bhajate yomam. Same yukta tamomata. The person who's reached the top of the yoga ladder is the person who's engaged in devotional service. Shraddhavan Bhajadeva. Samayukritamam. He's the first class yogi out of all the yogis. Yoginam is salvation. He's reached the perfection. So the person who attains that complete perfection, Paramamgata, he attains the supreme. He attains the ultimate goal. That ultimate goal is the association of Krishna. Krishna's the Purusham Shashvatam Divyam. He's the supreme transcendental person. Person means he has his place. Madhama Paramam. It's Lord says, I have my dham, my abode. He has his name. He has his form. He has his qualities. He has his pastimes. He has his associates. It's all going on. Goloka nami nijadhami talejites tasya devi mahesha haridhamushudeshude te te prabha prabhavanajaya vyatastrami Govindamadi Purushantam. The material world is called Devi Dham. It's the world controlled by Maya Devi. Above Devi Dham is Mahesh Dham, the abode of Lord Shiva, special place. Above Mahesh Dham is Vaikuntha Loka, the spiritual sky. And the highest planet in that Vaikuntha, spiritual sky, is Goloka Vrindavan, the personal abode of Krishna, Goloka. So, the perfection is to reach the association of Krishna and join Krishna's pleasure pastimes. Of course, those who attain Krishna first, they come to the place within this material world where Krishna is performing his nitya lila. Krishna is going from universe to universe to universe performing his pastimes. When he leaves this universe, he's coming to the next universe, just as the sun is setting in one place and rising in the next. So Krishna is disappearing from our universe and appearing someplace else and performing his transcendental pastimes. And those who attain perfection first are allowed to take birth in the place where Krishna is appearing, according to their relationship with Krishna. They may take birth as cowherd boys, as gopis, as cows, whatever. And there they get Krishna's association. And from there they're promoted next to the Goloka Vrindavan in the spiritual sky. Actually, there's no difference between the Goloka Vrindavan in the spiritual sky and the Gokula Vrindavan here on earth. Sri Sanatana Goswami explains this at some length in his Brihat Bhagavatamrita. The only difference is that that Goloka Vrindavan is manifest there and the Gokula Vrindavan is manifest here. Otherwise, it's the same place. Elsewhere stated that Goloka Vrindavan is all-pervading. Although it's supposed to be in one particular place in the spiritual sky, it's inconceivable because Goloka Vrindavan is not different from Krishna. And Krishna is everywhere. Therefore, Goloka Vrindavan is also everywhere. Well, who can understand Goloka Vrindavan? Chintamani prakala sarvasu kalpa viksha lakshana. We can't understand it. There's no time there. Time doesn't move. Here, time is always moving. What just happened is now the past. What's happening now will be the past in a moment. What hasn't happened yet is the future. We have three phases of time. In the spiritual sky, they have one phase of time, eternal present. Now, how does eternal present work? They still have sequence, but they don't have time, as we conceive of time. So how are we going to understand that? We're not going to understand that. Nothing works without time in our experience. Plant a seed and you wait for some time and it grows. Put a kettle on the fire, you wait for some time and it boils. Without time, nothing. But in the spiritual sky, everything happens without time. Therefore, we're not going to understand Goloka Vrindavan from here. We may think we understand it. We may have some conception. We may have some idea. But actually, to understand Goloka Vrindavan, you have to go there. And that's our business, is to get out of this material world and go back home, back to Godhead. Back to Godhead means to Krishna's transcendental place. Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam Sadatta Shanti Surya. The demigods are looking toward the Vaikuntha, but even higher than Vaikuntha is the confidential abode of Krishna, the original personality of Godhead. And Krishna says, this is the supreme destination. Tad Tama Paramam Mama. With that destination, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is pointing us toward by this method of Harinam. Golokera Premadhan, Premadhan Harinam Sankirtan. The holy name of Krishna comes from Goloka Vrindavan. And it takes us to Goloka Vrindavan by the method of love for Krishna. Golokera Premadhan Harinam Sankirtan. Our only problem is we have no attraction for chanting Hare Krishna. We commit 10 kinds of offenses while chanting, and therefore we don't develop our taste for chanting the holy name of Krishna. But Śrīla Jīva Gosvāmī advises that even if we chant offensively, if we go on chanting, and try to avoid these offenses, gradually we'll come to the clearing stage, and finally to the pure stage of chanting. And on the pure stage of chanting, one can realize love for Krishna and attain perfection. Are there some questions? Yes?
Yes, Maharaj. Sometimes in the process of surrender, I have felt a fear of losing one's individuality because of having to give up the wants and likes. Why and what is that?
Sometimes we fear that we're in the process of surrender, that we're losing individuality because we have to give up our wants and likes. Yes, that's love. Just like in marriage. So each party wants what they want. The husband wants what he wants. The wife wants what she wants. But the husband sacrifices. I want this, but you want that. So let's do that. Why? Does it mean it's out of love? Then my wife wants this. So if my wife becomes happy, then I'm happy. Or the wife thinks, if I don't like this, but if it will make my husband happy, then I'll do it. Just probably gives the example, cooking in the summer. Especially around here, cooking in the summer is no fun. It's a kind of torture. You stand in the heat over a fire. But, so who wants to do that? But the wife is thinking that my husband will be happy. So she's doing that. So that's love. Individuality is still there. But one sacrifices one's desires for the desire of the pleasure of the person one loves. Individuality is still there, but one is dedicating oneself for the satisfaction of someone else. That's love, that's surrender. Individuality and sacrifice is still there. We're trained, we have this Western idea that individuality means everybody's got to be different, everybody's got to do what he wants to do, and that's individuality. Actually, the whole Western culture is full of sheep trying to be individuals. And everyone, there's like 8,700,000 people all wearing the same kind of jeans to express themselves. You know, 30 million people smoking cigarettes because it's cool and because it shows that they're really individuals. So that's our stupid Western conception of individuality. But individuality is equally well expressed or better expressed when one cooperates for a higher cause. In the army, it's not that none of the people are individuals. They're all individuals. But they've agreed to cooperate for the sake of the country that they love. And sometimes they express themselves with great manifestations of individuality. They die for their country. They risk their lives to save their buddies. They work up fantastic strategies to capture a strategic position. It's not that they've lost their individuality, but they're working together for a sublime goal, for what they conceive of as an exalted goal. Not that because they've all shaved their heads and they're all wearing the same uniform, they've all become the same person. They're all individuals. Oh, in the spiritual world also, everyone is individual or in the process of surrender. Not that because everyone shaves their head, everyone wears pink or white, and now everybody's become homogenous. There's so many different ideas, there's so many different tastes, there's so many different levels of advancement, there's so many different kinds of enthusiasm. There's individuality. But it's different from the material individuality. Actually, the more we shake off our material individuality, the more our real individuality is manifest. This is called mukti. Mukti hidvanyata rupam swarupena vibhasati. Real liberation means I give up my false form. All this junk that I've covered myself with by the influence of the three material modes. That individuality. We have 8,400,000 kinds of individuals wearing different individual bodies, expressing themselves, the zebra, the tiger, the hippopotamus, they're all expressing their individuality. But what is that individuality? They're individual prisoners, individual conditioned souls, individual types of contaminated jivas. Painted different colors by the three modes of material nature. And then in human life, we cover ourselves still more with a lot of artificial stuff. What one sociologist called an identity kit. You know, you make your hair a certain color, you make your eyes a certain color, you do your mustache a certain way, you do this, that. And that's your identity kit. But what is that identity? It's all nonsense. That identity will be finished at the time of death, at the latest. So what that means it's false ego, it's not my real ego. So liberation means hidvanyata rupam, to give up that false identity, swarupena, and come to my real identity. What is that? Jivar swarupaya krishnaya nityadas. I am Krishna's eternal servant. There also there's individuality. We read some of the coward boys are very funny, some of the coward boys are very gentle, some of the coward boys are very aggressive, heroic. They're all individuals. but that's eternal individuality. That's not finished when the body is finished, because they have no material body. Their bodies are eternal. Hitva, when we give up this false identity, then we can come to our real identity. Because we think, why the fear? Because we're stupid. Madhu?
I say the fear of being something like if you're on a dock and there's a boat, you're supposed to step in the boat, you've got 1 foot on the dock and 1 foot in the boat. And you're afraid to leave your other foot from the dock because you're used to being on firm ground. You don't know what's going to happen once you leave your foot from there and you're in the boat.
Yeah, we're afraid to leave where we are.
You know it. You know where it should happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a person standing on the shore with 1 foot in the boat, he's afraid to step into the boat fully. Or maybe give another example. We read sometimes that during these, say the Second World War, or during the Russian communist persecutions, people knew that everybody, you know, my neighbor got taken, my other neighbor got taken, the guy across the street got taken. So it's not very difficult to figure out what's going to happen to you. But they're thinking, where will I go? Where will I go? So, what's the safest place? Safest place is where I am. That's the worst possible place. But it's the place they've always been. You know, where will I go? How will I live? I won't have any money. My business is here. My relatives are here. My friends are here. I grew up here. I speak the language here. I know everything here. If I'm not here, where will I go? So, then what are you going to do? Stay here and go to the concentration camp. Stay here and be sent to the gulag. Stay here and suffer. That's called conditioned. Something else, yes?
I heard quite often now that, especially now in our Western devotees, that in this life we might get quite purified to take a better birth next life, but for most of us, we will not be able to realize so much to go back. So how much is this confirmed?
Western, Eastern, it's not a question of Western, Eastern. That the Western devotees have to take birth again and the Indians can all just go straight. We see practically that you've been in India now long enough to see that it's like not that everybody's a yogi, tapasvi, dedicating his life to dharma and bhakti. It's a pretty wild place. So it's not a question of Western or Indian, but anyone can take through the process of devotional service and profit in this life. Go back home, back to Godhead. Otherwise, if not in this life, even if I have to come back, then neha vikramana shosti prativaya nabhijyate. There's no loss there. If I completed 80%, I'll start from 81%. If it was 90%, I'll continue from 91%. But the best thing is not to have any percentage left to continue. Focus and finish the business. Assume that that's how we're here anyway, as we didn't finish last time. So, why drag on with things? Let's get out of here. Yes?
We talked about Ashashvata.
Ashashvata.
A temporary. And many times we still have the desire that we install the deities, they should stay here permanently. Is that conflict?
We install the deities, we want the deities to stay here permanently. Of course, the deities are here permanently. In the Yogaśaśeta Sosmiham, in the Bhagavatam, the second canto, Krishna tells Brahma that it's I that was here before there was anything. And now that you see everything, it's nothing but me. And after it's all destroyed, there'll still be nothing but me. So the deities are always here.
Although they are moving, let's say, to France, they move from one place to
another. They come, but they're always everywhere. Andantarasta paramanu jayantarasta. They're between all the atoms, they're in every atom. The deities are every place. We may move them or not move them, but they're already there. Even after the whole world is turned to powder, the deities stay. But we install them in a particular place. We desire that they should stay permanently. Permanently means as far as possible, because the whole material world will be finished. But the deities are not meant for being moved from place to place. Therefore, Prabhupada, against our principles to sell temples and so on. But we may sometimes do it. We get some temporary place and we install the deity, and then we get a better place and we ask the deity, sir, we have a better place, please let us take you there. But the service should be permanent. Let's just say that. Okay. Something else?
Mm-hmm. If the purpose of all the forms of yoga is to focus the mind and attain Krishna, then how is it that you explain that we cannot travel by the speed of mind and reach Krishna?
If the purpose of all the systems of yoga is to focus the mind on Krishna, how is it that the mind can enable us to reach Krishna? Focus the mind on Krishna. The mind by its own power can't go. But Krishna, when he becomes pleased, reveals himself to the mind. What is that? Different things.
Tashi Krishna
Namadi. That's there, Tashi Krishna Namadi. Seva Mukahi Divado is fine, but otherwise, I was thinking Atapite Deva Padam Pujam Dvaya Prasadalesha Anubhite Deva Divado Janati Tattva. When Krishna gives a little of his mercy, then we can help Krishna. There's also another one. Oh, what is that? I'm forgetting the verse right now, but Krishna manifests himself. He manifests himself by his mercy. Verse is in No, there's another verse which directly says that Krishna manifests himself to the pure devotee. So it's not simply by our mental power. The yogi is trying by mental power, the jnani. Because he has an ascending process. By my mind, I'll figure out these contradictions. I'll see my way through the maze of Maya, and I will penetrate to the truth. By my mental and intellectual rigorous endeavors, I'll come to know the truth, which I'm so keen to know. And the devotee knows it's hopeless. By my own mental and intellectual powers, what will I know? Because the mind and the intellect are among the material energies. But when Krishna gives his mercy, then it becomes possible. Yasya deve pram bhaktiryata deve tatagaro tasyaite katitahyarata prakashate. When one has full faith in Krishna and equal faith in the bona fide spiritual master, everything is revealed. Svayameva Svarajana. Yes. All right. We're at 7 o'clock. Shall we? Yes.
What's the cause?
Loud, loud.
What's the cause that we don't want to give up our body concept of life or our desires for self?
is we don't want to give up the bodily concept of life because of desires for sense enjoyment. That's why I said stupid. What enjoyment are we getting? We're getting suffering. Every sense, consider every sense. How much enjoyment can it get? Like eating, how much can you throw in there and chew? But how many teeth do you have? What? 30 or so? 32? Each one of them can go bad and give you excruciating pain. You can burn your lips, you can burn your tongue. You can get canker sores, you can get, you know, the whole mouth is just like tongue, pyorrhea, you know, you can get disease of the gums, you can get just a little, just that we're dealing with one sense so far. And we haven't come to the end of it. You know, if we had a medical book, we could start looking at all the different things that could go wrong with the just with inside the mouth, and then you have to go through the digestive tract and their whole specialties of doctors who make lots of money between here and there. With all the things that can go wrong. And then the liver has to kick in, and then you get what oncology, the people who have to deal with that, with the liver and the pancreas. Every inch of it can cause pain. The eyes. Again, some your cornea can get screwed up, your retina can get screwed up, you can get cataracts, you can get this, you can get that. This little piece of sand falls in your eye and you're, ah! The catalog, the skin, the sense of touch, you can burn it, you can scrape it, you can get poison ivy, you can get bitten by mosquitoes. We just started. Cuts, bruises, abrasions. Every inch of the body is capable of causing excruciating pain. And how much pleasure can it give? And finally, if you say, well, then ashashvata, it's going to be finished anyway. Buddhi grayam atindriyam. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, it said that the realized soul doesn't care about any of this because he's enjoying reality through transcendental senses. Buddhi grayam atindriyam. So if we want sense enjoyment, we're in the wrong place. With the wrong senses. And the wrong objects of the senses. Even the gopis said, even if our object of the sense is Krishna, we have this dumb creator who created eyes with lids so that we can't see properly. But better to go back to Godhead where you have the perfect thing to see, not billboards and junk like Krishna. Perfect object of the senses is Krishna. Perfect senses are the senses of the pure devotees. Netrotsava. It's described that the seeing Krishna is a festival for the eyes. Netrotsava. Similarly, for all the senses to come in touch with Krishna as a transcendental, supreme transcendental festival. And the material world is just a lousy party.
Prabhupada said in one purport that all the senses can become completely satisfied simply by hearing.
Okay. Hare Krishna, glorious to Shri Krishna.
Jai Vaita Maharaj ki.
Jai Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki. Jai Gaur Jamanandi.